make sure you don't have a concussion. You think you learned your lesson about skipping school? My brother nodded and looked sheepish. Yeah, Dad. It was dumb. Need the names of the kids that you were with. I also need you to give me a description of the guys that attacked you and what they were driving. Don't give me no lip about keeping your buddies out of trouble. This is bigger than your next game, Dalen. I could see my little brother gearing up to argue, so I interrupted before things got too heated. I'm gonna stick my head inside and see if the cashier noticed anything. Maybe we'll luck out, and they'll have video of the fight and the license plate of the truck. Jules nodded at me and waved me off with a hand. Good thinking. I'll be in right after you. I pushed through the glass doors and frowned when the girl behind the counter didn't so much as look up as the electronic ding overhead rang to alert her to the fact she had someone in the store. She was propped on the counter, chin in hands, as something played on her phone. She didn't bother to look up as I approached either. The closer I got, the more obvious it became. She was oblivious to everything but what was happening on the tiny screen in front of her. I bet shoplifters had a field day on her shifts. And if the owner didn't have some kind of video surveillance in place, then they were an idiot. Excuse me. I tapped the counter in front of her until she rolled her heavily made-up eyes in my direction. At first, she looked irritated. But once she got a good look at me, she perked up. I decided to use that to my advantage and gave her a flirtatious look and a half grin that was totally fake. I was wondering if you noticed the commotion that just went down outside. Did you see anything? She grinned back at me and rose to her full height. She was probably about the same age as Dixie, but all that makeup and the unflattering red uniform shirt made her look older. She stuck her chest out as she tapped a manicured finger to her chin, and I gave her the obligatory once over. She was fine to look at, but I had zero interest in anything she was offering up. I wasn't the right guy for Dixie, but that didn't stop her from being the perfect girl for me. Nah, it's quiet around here until noon when the school lets out for lunch. We get an occasional trucker and a couple of tourists passing through. But nothing exciting usually happens in the morning. At least not until you walked in. She batted spidery eyelashes at me and pursed her glossy lips. Are you new in town? I definitely would remember seeing you around before. I grew up here. My family is from around here. In fact, it was my little brother that was the one attacked outside your store. My friendly tone got a whole lot less friendly when I started talking about Dalen getting attacked. You weren't paying attention. You didn't call the cops when a teenager was being attacked by three racist adults. A teenager who happens to be the sheriff's son. I'm sure you can see how this can end really badly for you. I looked at a name tag through narrowed eyes. Allison. Shit, Dalen got beat up? That's not good. My boyfriend likes to bet on the games, and Dalen is the backbone of that team. She put a nervous hand to her throat and looked at me out of wide eyes as she must have heard how callous her statement sounded. Is he okay? I didn't respond to her fake concern for my brother's well-being. Tell me that you got cameras pointed at the parking lot. She rapidly nodded. We do. Teenagers like to gas and dash, so the boss put them in a couple years ago. I have to call him and ask permission to show them to you. I already called, since this is an official criminal investigation. Take us to the back and show us what we need. I turned my head as Jules walked in and up to the counter next to me. He was in his no-nonsense police mode, but I could tell that underneath, he was one furious father that wanted payback for what had happened to his son. We followed the cashier into the back, and both of us stopped breathing as she enlarged the view from the camera we pointed out. And started to roll back the feed until a scuffle appeared. It was hard to watch. The images had my hands curling into fists and Jules swearing every 5 seconds. The guys that attacked Dalen were no scrawny weaklings. They were burly backwoods boys that looked used to hard labor and hard living. I was glad there was no sound. because not only would the noises of fists hitting flesh make it harder to take, I knew the things that they were saying to him, the names they were calling him, would push me over the edge. I already wanted to hurt them, but that kind of unjustified hate unleashed on a kid, well, that made me want to kill. The footage was clear enough to get a plate number, and Jules wasted no time in calling it in. But it was the oblivious cashier who actually turned out to be the best source of information. After we watched the entire attack, twice, she nervously informed us that her boyfriend, with the gambling problem, went to a bar called Sassy's, a town over, to place his bets with his bookie. Apparently the place was a dive that catered to yokels and hillbillies. She gave me a look when she said it that indicated it was a place where I would most definitely not be welcome. I've heard of it, but it's out of my jurisdiction, so I've only ever driven by it. Jules gave me a look that spoke volumes. We both knew where this was going, and he didn't want me to run off half-cocked. Well, he was in luck because I was fully cocked and more than willing to let the bastards that beat my brother find the person they were actually looking for. I've seen that truck in the parking lot, and the big guy who was driving, I think I've seen him at the door a time or two. I don't ever go inside because it looks filthy, and my boyfriend says it's not safe, but yeah, I bet you can find those guys there. She shifted her gaze between the two of us and tilted her head to the side. So, do you think Daylan will be playing this weekend? I growled at her and went to take a step forward, but was brought up short by Jules' arm shooting out like a metal bar across the center of my chest. Young lady, if you had been doing your job, my son wouldn't be in the shape he is in now. If you had called the police when those men pulled in with obvious ill intent, Daylan wouldn't have had to fight three grown men while he was outnumbered. I'll be speaking with your boss at length, and you should mention to your boyfriend that he'll need to find a new bookie, because business at Sassy's is about to get shut down. I continued to glare at her even as he grabbed the back of my shirt and started to haul me towards the door, like he had when I was a kid. Come on, Dash. Once we were back in the parking lot, I wasted no time in swinging a leg over the Harley and pulling weight up off the kickstand. Jules put his hand over mine on the throttle and gave it a little squeeze. I know you think you should go after those men, that you want to defend your brother. I know you aren't afraid of a fight, afraid of their closed-mindedness and bigotry. But if you start something, if you are the instigator that puts me in a tough spot, son, I shouldn't be surprised that my intention to go knocking at every dive bar in the county until I found the guys that injured Daylan was clear on my face. I was still choking on rage and a desire for retribution for what had happened to Daylan. They were looking for me and found Daylan instead. He got hurt because of me, and I can't let that slide. Son, I know exactly what you are capable of, and that could lead to trouble. You need to be smart, and you need to think through whatever you do next. You may think just because you didn't tell me where you were or what you were doing that I didn't keep tabs on you. You're my son, Dash. I've always known exactly where you were and what kind of hot spots you were in. I'm not too proud to use my badge and my position to get information that my son isn't willing to share. I never wanted you to enlist because I didn't think you were in a place where you could handle losing brothers in arms and seeing what the ravages of war could do to people. You already had so much death in your life. I couldn't believe you were actively chasing after more of it. I should have known back then that you were looking for a reason. Your mom and Caroline died senselessly. But when you went to the desert, well, that was death and destruction that made sense. I stared at him like I was seeing him for the first time, which maybe I was. I hadn't been trying to see through my darkness. I'd simply become comfortable in it, feeling my way around with my eyes squeezed shut. I was seeing a whole lot of things for what they were now that Dalen had prodded me hard enough to get them open. I didn't want you to be a soldier, but damn it if you weren't the best soldier you could be. I gritted my teeth and one by one uncurled my fingers from around the throttle. We both know someone found those guys and sent them on a mission to give me a beatdown. Someone called in that bogus call to you so that you were out of town and set this in motion. This is all tied to the stuff that's been happening since Dixie and I left Denver. I agree, but I still don't think it tracks with a vendetta a drug dealer might have towards you. Then what? I didn't piss anyone else off in Denver, except for a few drunks that got handsy with some of the ladies. I put the fear of God into an abusive boyfriend of one of the cocktail servers, but he's locked up now as well. So who could it be? Jules chuckled and reached out a hand so that he could grab my shoulder. He gave me a little shake and looked at me with lifted eyebrows. You're smart, Dash, so think it through. If you didn't piss someone off in Denver and the trouble followed you from there, then it must be the other person with the unseen adversary. Dixie is a sweetheart, but that doesn't mean the whole world is in love with her. We all have skeletons, even if hers are pink and fluffy. I couldn't imagine Dixie having any kind of enemy. She was everyone's best friend. She was the constant cheerleader and sun that never stopped shining. I'll ask her. I doubt she's got skeletons, pink or otherwise, but something's got to give before someone ends up dead. I agree. I'm taking your brother to get him checked out and then dropping him off at the house. He looked at me over his shoulder with a smirk. That was a good call with the tape. Those are instincts not everyone has. You know that if you stick around, we could always use another deputy on the force. You have more training than most of my guys. And since you started off as an MP in the service, all you would have to do is take the state's test and do the physical. I stared at him for a long minute and then shook my head. You didn't want me to be a soldier, but you're okay with me being a cop. He gave a shrug as he stopped at the door of his patrol car. What father doesn't want his son to follow in his footsteps? I'm going to send a cruiser out to Sassy's. I'll let you know when we round up the suspects, though something tells me you're going to find them first. Make good choices, son. I stared after the car for a long minute until it was gone from sight. Every instinct I had was screaming at me to fire the Harley to life and go exact justice for my brother. My muscles were tense, my jaw was clenched, and my heart was beating so fast that it was all I could hear. I was used to letting my family down. I was comfortable doing the wrong thing for the right reasons. I promised Dalen I would show the fuck up, and that was exactly what I was going to do.
Chapter 15. Dixie. I got Elma home without further incident. Getting the wheelchair inside took a little finessing and some muscle, but I managed it. I made a mental note to ask Church if he was handy with a hammer and a saw, because she was going to need a ramp to help her navigate coming in and out of the house until she was healed enough to use the walker. Once I had her comfortable on the surprisingly chic leather couch, no giant cabbage flowers or pastel prints for Elma May. With all her recorded shows fired up on a flat screen, I knew most men would be envious of. I went to work finishing the laundry that had caused her tumble in the first place. After I had that easy chore handled, I discovered that the handrail leading up the stairs was loose, another thing I was putting on Church's list of things to look at, and I asked for a rundown of other things I could help her with while we waited on Church to get back. He'd sent a message that Dalen was with Jules, and that the cop had gone all kinds of protective parent, and insisted the younger Churchill get his head checked out. My brooding biker was on his way back home now, and I could tell that Elma was excited to finally get some time with him. She asked me to organize all the food that people from the community had brought by and stocked her fridge with. There was no way she was going to get to it all before it went bad. So she asked me to find something that would feed all of us, plus the nurse that was coming in and staying with her for dinner, and divvy up the rest and freeze it. She also asked me to water her flowers in the yard, and to bring all the stuff she would need that was upstairs in her master bedroom downstairs, since there was no way she was making that trip until the brace came off. Her kitchen was something that would leave even the barefoot Contessa impressed, so it was no chore to bop around the fancy marble countertops and stainless steel appliances. I left something that looked like a giant dish of lasagna in the fridge for dinner, and then made my way outside to tackle the flowers as the sun was going down. Being from the city and living in an apartment most of my adult life, I'd never had a garden. We were lucky to have a small square of grass in our front yard to play on when we were kids, so Elma May's sprawling, lush landscape was like something out of a fairy tale. I had no problem picturing Alice and the Mad Hatter at tea amongst the flowers and fauna. I spent more time touching the velvety soft petals and smelling the fragrant blooms while daydreaming about the perfect intimate garden wedding than I did actually watering the plants. It was so very easy to get lost in all the wonderful things Church's home had to offer that I couldn't imagine how hurt and how scared he must have been to leave it all behind without a backwards glance. I knew he would hate it, but it made me feel sorry for him. He was absolutely right that there was a lot of goodness here to turn your back on. Lost in my own little world, I didn't hear his bike or the heavy fall of his boots as he walked up behind me. I also must have tuned out him calling my name, because when his hand landed on my shoulder, it freaked me out. I jumped, I screamed, I flailed around like a lunatic, and when I whipped around to confront my unseen assailant, I sprayed him right in the face with the hose that was still dangling out of my hand. Stunned that it was friend and not foe, I stood there with the hose trained on him as he swore at me, yelled my name, and tried to evade the water. It didn't work. He was drenched, head to toe, sopping wet, as I gave him an unwanted shower. He snatched my wet weapon out of my hand and bent the green rubber until there was a kink in it, big enough to stop the flow of water. He shook his sandy head, water droplets flinging every direction, as those better-than-hazel eyes narrowed threateningly at me.
Seriously?
He ran a hand over his face as I struggled to contain a laugh. The humor died when he shrugged out of his soggy leather jacket with a grimace, leaving him in nothing more than a soaking wet t-shirt that clung to every defined muscle he had. The boy looked good without even trying. Get him wet and make him a little angry, and everything that made me a girl sat up and took notice. Jeans that clung to all the parts of him that I didn't want to share made my mouth water and my cheeks pink. I wanted to snap a picture of him, so I had it when real Church was gone, and battery-operated Church was all I had left. Hell, I might not even need the vibrator. The picture would be enough to get off on. He shook his head again and swiped a hand on the back of his neck, where water was rolling down the collar of his shirt.
Didn't you hear me calling your name?
I threw up my hands in exasperation. Obviously not. You scared me. He looked down at the dripping front side and then back up at me with a smirk.
Are you sure you didn't just want to get me wet?
I laughed and let my eyes roll over him in an obvious way. I mean, I'm sorry not sorry that I got you all wet. One of his eyebrows quirked upwards, and I felt like an idiot for not knowing exactly what was coming next. Before I could let out a sound or put my hands up in a defense, he let go of the hose, and I was hit in the face with an onslaught of water. It was cold, so I squealed, and he was too fast for me to evade when I darted to the side to escape the spray. The chilly wetness stuck my shirt to my chest and had my curls falling heavily into my face. Stop! I held my hands up in surrender and barked out the order over a laugh. I had to shake my hair out of my eyes to look up at him, and when I did, my knees almost buckled. It wasn't a full smile. The light didn't reach his eyes or shine out of him, and it didn't make his perpetual scowl lighten up. But man, oh man, did it transform his face from something beautiful to something that was better than beautiful. The barest hint of his teeth, the tiniest indent in his cheek that hinted at the fact he was probably hiding a dimple or two, the lift of his brow from frowning to not, it all made my heart turn inside out and solidified that I might want him for myself. But I wanted that smile for the rest of the world. No one should be kept from something so stunningly special. While I was enraptured and unable to move, he made his way over to the spigot to turn the water off. When he came back, his shirt was in his hand, and the late afternoon sun was kissing his bronze shoulders, making him look like an ancient bronze statue come to life.
What were you daydreaming about so hard that you didn't hear the Harley or your name?
It was an innocent enough question, but one I wasn't going to answer truthfully, because he didn't need to know that I had him standing at a flower-covered arch in Elma's yard, waiting for me to walk down the aisle towards him. I was afraid that would kill that glorious smile, when it was so newly resurrected. I had a little run-in at the hospital. I pulled the front of my sticking t-shirt away from my stomach, and wrung it out in my hands. It would serve him right if I pulled the thing off in front of God and everyone, but I didn't want to give Elma May a reason to go back to being nasty to me. I was sure a half-naked redhead running around her yard would have the neighbors talking. That was, if they could get past all the golden glory that was church.
What kind of run-in?
His rumbling voice dropped lower, and all the humor fell away from his handsome face, leaving the grumpy, glowering one I was so familiar with back in place.
Elma May still giving you the business?
I shook my head, which sent water flying in all directions. He had to step back to avoid getting wet. No, we came to a truce. She was testing me, and I finally stood my ground and passed. We're pretty much best friends now. I wiggled my eyebrows at him, but his stern expression didn't waver.
What happened at the hospital, Dixie?
There was no room for argument or further beating around the bush. I was in the parking lot moving the truck, and I had my head in the clouds as usual. I was daydreaming about him then as well. It was like an addiction, one I was going to have to quit cold turkey pretty soon. This black SUV came roaring out of a parking spot a few yards away. They almost hit me. It was close enough I could see my reflection in the door. There were no other cars around, because I parked that big-ass truck like shit, so it was obviously deliberate. I held up a hand before he could speak. And no, I didn't get a look at the driver or a license plate, because I was too busy thanking my lucky stars I didn't get run over.
Dixie.
My name was coded in concern and exasperation. He dropped his soggy t-shirt to the grass and reached out and pulled me to his bare chest. I was so stunned I didn't immediately react, because I couldn't believe he was hugging me of his own volition.
Are you okay?
I let out a shaky sigh and leaned into him. His skin was like warm silk stretched over iron and stone, as I rested my cheek on his naked peck. I wrapped my arms around his narrow waist and let my fingers trace lazily over the twin little indentations that rested right above his backside. It was the best hug I'd ever had in my life, partly because I hadn't had to ask for it. It'd just been given. But mostly because it came from him, and I knew a few days ago there was no way that he would have willingly pulled me into his arms. He cared. He might not care the way I wanted him to, but he cared nonetheless. I'm okay. It shook me up a little, and it made me nervous to have Elma in the truck with me on the way back here, but nothing else happened. At least nothing else happened that I was aware of.
You know all of this is connected somehow, right? You almost getting run down. Someone setting the good old boys on me and getting Dalen instead. Someone is mad we left Denver. And the more incidents that occur, the more it seems like someone is downright pissed we left together. My drug dealer seems unlikely, but Jules is going to check into him. And I spent all afternoon looking for the boys that put a beating on my brother. But they must have gone to ground. So there won't be answers from them until I find them. This all feels like it might point to someone you rubbed the wrong way, pretty girl.
I jerked back and looked up at him with wide eyes. I don't rub people the wrong way, Church. In fact, I went out of my way to make sure I didn't. He grunted and lifted his hands so that he could tunnel his fingers through the damp spirals that were a kinky mess all over my head. He used his palms to tilt my head back even farther, so that we were staring into each other's eyes.
I know you don't think you do, but I need you to think back. Is there anyone that gave you any kind of bad vibes lately? Anyone from the bar seem unusually irritated or annoyed at you? I know you've been online dating, and there can be some real oddballs on the internet. Did any of your dates strike you as strange or off?
I wanted to squirm after he asked the question. I wanted to forget the disaster online dating had been, and I wanted to forget the reason I had been so desperate in the first place was because of his irrational fear of getting close to anyone. There were only a handful, and they were all pretty weird. I let my hands fall from around his waist and went to take a step back, but he wouldn't let me go. His multicolored gaze kept me rooted to the spot as he told me to explain what I meant by weird. I groaned and raised my hands to hold onto his wrists while I talked. The first guy seemed nice enough, but halfway through dinner I went to the bathroom, and when I came back he was gone and so was my wallet. He took it right out of my purse and disappeared.
The fuck?
His outraged growl actually made me smile. Yeah, well, I preferred him to the next guy, who never bothered to disclose that he was married, and that he and his wife were swingers looking for a third to play with while the kids were out of town. He also used a picture that was way out of date, because when I went to meet him, I hardly recognized him. He was, like, the same age as my dad. I wrinkled my nose at the memory as Church swore again and tightened his hands on the sides of my head. The last guy was actually very nice. He was quiet. He was shy. I don't think he'd ever been on a date before. His eyes narrowed to slits, and his mouth pulled down into a frown that I was sure had scared men that were far bigger and fiercer than I would ever be. I might have given him a chance, or at the very least a second date, if... I paused as an animalistic sound rumbled loud and possessive out of his chest. If he hadn't brought his mother along with him. Our entire date was chaperoned and monitored, and while he was nice enough, she was a shrew and a bully. I felt my brows draw together as memories of that evening played through my mind. In fact, she was angry when I wouldn't let them into my apartment for a drink. Way angrier than the situation called for. It was obvious that she was the one that set the date up and was the driving force behind it. So she was far more upset than he was when I pulled the plug.
You got a name on the mother and son duo? It may be a long shot, but it's as good a place to start as any.
But that's crazy. It wasn't even a real date. She couldn't really have been so angry that she followed us down here and tried to run us off the road. Who does that? He leaned forward and kissed my forehead, before stepping back and rolling his heavy shoulders.
You'd be surprised how little it takes to set someone off, especially if they've only got one oar in the water.
I snorted at his very southern turn of phrase and pointed at him. Better watch out, Church. Your southern is starting to show. It had always been around in the sensual, sexy drawl, but now that he was back where everyone sounded like him, his accent was getting stronger, and his speech was slipping into familiar phrases and patterns that I'd never heard him use back in Denver. I'll look at my phone and give you Mama's boy's number and name. I meant to delete all those dating apps I downloaded, but I never got around to it, because you showed up and made everything go crazy. That unpracticed and rusty grin flashed back across his face.
That's what I do.
It sure was. My heart had been crazy for him since day one.
No more online dating, Dixie. You don't need it. The right guy's going to come along, and he will be everything you ever wanted him to be.
He bent to pick up his shirt and tossed the soggy mess over his shoulder.
I'm going to go in and check on Elma. I'm sure she has a list of chores she's been waiting 10 years to hand down to me.
I waved him off and told him I needed to finish the flowers, as well as dry off a little, before heading inside. I also told him I would handle dinner if he called his dad and brother, and told them we were all eating with Elma that night, and more than likely every night for the rest of the week, so we could help her with all that food the neighbors had brought over. What I didn't tell him was the right guy for me was standing right in front of me, and he did have everything I wanted. But he also had a lot of things I didn't want, because that was how the world worked. No one was guaranteed anything, so you made do with the few blessings you did have, and tried your best not to squander them. It was a lesson I think he was slowly starting to learn, but my time to get it to sink in and make him realize what we could have if he believed in him, in me, in us, just a little bit, was running out. Dinner was great. The nurse that was staying with Elma didn't look a day over 19 and had her hands full cooing over both Elma and a battered Dalen. Watching Elma and the Churchill men reunite filled my happy heart with all the things that it longed for. Church was relaxed, well, as relaxed as he ever was, and the change was huge, as he joked around with his brother and traded lighthearted jabs with his father. Elma couldn't stop smiling, and at one point she asked me to help her use the restroom. Not so she could actually use the restroom, but so she could sit on the closed toilet seat and cry. This was a moment too long denied, and it was obviously overwhelming for her. All I could do was pat her on the back and wait until the emotional storm passed. I helped her erase all the evidence of her sob fest and served everyone a slice of the coconut cream pie I found in the fridge, like nothing out of the ordinary had happened. After pie and a few episodes of The Blacklist, Julian ordered Dalen home to finish homework and reminded him that they had an early meeting with the principal and the kids he had ditched school with. In typical teenaged fashion, Dalen played up his injuries, though his face did look like it had been smashed into a very unforgiving wall, and pleaded with his father for a sick day. Church called him out, saying the only reason he didn't want to go to school was because his coach was going to hand him his ass for missing class and getting hurt in the process. He softened the verbal blow by assuring his little brother that teenaged girls couldn't resist flocking around an injured sports star. He urged him to take the punishment, because the rewards on the other end would be pretty sweet. When father and son left, I quietly excused myself as well so that Church and Elma could have some alone time. When I was walking out the door, he was sitting next to her on the couch, his arm around her shoulder, her head on his chest, as he told her about all the places he had been and all the memories he had made in the last year. I couldn't help but be a little touched that his voice lightened and his tone softened when he talked about Denver and all the people that had welcomed him there. I was glad to know that all the efforts put into including him, into letting him know he was one of our own, even if he wasn't ready to embrace us back, hadn't gone unnoticed. I walked up the block and across the street to where the Churchills called home and tapped lightly on the door before letting myself in when there was no response. No one was in the living room, so I helped myself to a quick shower and decided I needed to check on both my dog and my neighbor. I pulled Poppy up on FaceTime and waited for what felt like forever for her to answer. Her pretty face had a tad bit more color in it than it normally did as it filled the screen. "Hey, Dixie, how's Mississippi?" I heard Dolly barking somewhere in the background and was hit with a pang of longing. I missed my pretty blue girl and her constant companionship. She was my ray of sunshine when I was worn out from spreading light all over everyone else. It's actually pretty amazing. It's like something from a Nicholas Sparks movie. Ugh, bad reference. No one in those movies ever got a happy ending without something terrible happening first. It's very pretty, and everyone has that slow southern drawl. I kind of love it. How is my girl doing? Poppy whistled, and suddenly the screen was filled with a happy, drooling face that I missed so much. I cooed at Dolly, told her she was a good girl, and promised her I would be home soon. She danced around and barked like she understood what I was saying, but then took off when Poppy tossed a ball. She's good. I've had her with me at the clinic most days, but Wheeler asked to watch her yesterday. He took her to work with him. I think he's lonely over there all by himself. All he does is work and sleep. Oh, and order pizza. You might need to air out your place when you get back. It's definitely getting a distinctive dude funk to it. I chuckled and looked up as Church opened the door. He noticed I was on the phone and half-mouthed, half-mimed, that he was going to hit the gym set up in the garage before taking a shower. I guess when you had a future Hall of Famer and a police officer in the family, fitness wasn't taken lightly, and I was glad he dipped out without subjecting another friend to a round of phone sex they didn't sign up for, especially this friend. "You've been over at my apartment with just Wheeler there?" I couldn't keep the surprise out of my voice. She avoided strangers and strange men in particular, like they all had the plague. "Just for a minute here and there. I wanted to get Dolly's rawhide and her dog bed that I knew were in your room. She doesn't like my bed. I was there when your sister showed up. It didn't go well." She bit down on her lower lip and ducked her head so that her face was partially obscured. "Don't worry about Callie. She can be a bitch, but she's not all bad. Things are really complicated with her and Wheeler right now, and you just happen to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. He's pretty worried about you after the confrontation. I didn't tell her that I thought his priorities were kind of screwed up in that, because it wasn't my place or my problem. He's very nice. He was. He was also freshly heartbroken and cut loose. He'd been set adrift after a long time spent with the same person, and a little too raw to be thinking about the quiet, damaged girl next door. But again, not my zoo and not my monkeys. He is a great guy. I'm glad things are going okay with him there while I'm gone. I was going to ask her how her very pregnant sister was doing when my phone dinged with an alert I didn't recognize. I told Poppy how much I appreciated her looking after my girl and assured her things were going well on my end as well. A slight exaggeration, but I figured she didn't know that. When I pulled my phone away from my ear, I froze in shock when the dating app where all my disastrous dates had sprung from pinged with a match. This particular app was set up to narrow down possible prospects within a 20-mile radius of wherever your phone was. The service was letting me know there were men using the app in Lowry that met all the requirements I'd filled out when I initially set up the app. It also meant that anyone using the app would be able to find me and my profile if my phone was in that same area. Staring at it in shock, as realization dawned, I got up and practically ran through the house towards the door that led from the utility room to the garage. The space had been converted into a home gym that rivaled the setup at the 24-hour fitness center I kept a membership to but never used. It was full of serious machines and heavy weights that indicated the men in this family were dedicated to taking care of themselves. The door slammed shut behind me, which had Church looking at me through arms that were bulging and straining, as he hefted a bench press bar loaded down with what looked like more weight than I had on my body straight up. I think I know how whoever has been tailing us has known where we've been since we left Denver. I watched in awe as he pushed the bar back up and lowered it a few more times before setting it on the cradle with a loud clink. I knew he was strong, but watching all those muscles move and work was mouth-watering and mesmerizing. I held my phone out to him as he leaned his head back on the bench to look up at me. The dating app where I met all those guys has a location finder. I think it's used for people looking for a quick hookup more than anything, but it notifies you when someone you're interested in or that matches your preferences is within 20 miles of your phone. You can open the alert, and it gives you a real-time map that shows you exactly where your match is at. If it's one of the guys that I went on a date with, then all they would have to do is be within 20 miles of my phone at all times to know where I am. He reached for a towel that was lying on the ground next to a half-empty bottle of water and motioned me over with a crooked finger. He was sweaty and shiny, his veins standing out under the glossy sheen of his skin.
So if you look at the guys you answered the alert on, will the map show you where they are currently?
I stopped by the bar and put a shaking hand on the smooth metal. If they have the location service enabled? I tapped the screen of my phone and opened the app. He watched me as I poked through the different saved profiles and conversations I'd saved to find the guys I'd agreed to go out with. First up was the thief. He was still in Denver, and I wanted to kick myself for not thinking to use the app to locate him after he took off with my wallet. Next was the swinger. He appeared to be somewhere south of Denver towards Colorado Springs, but still nowhere near Lowry. Lastly was Mama's boy. I scrolled and scrolled, but couldn't find any traces of him in the app. His profile was gone, and with it any record of the interactions we'd had while he was signed up. The first two are still in Colorado. Well, their phones are, at least. The last guy, the one who brought his mom on the date, is gone. I can't tell where his phone is at, and I can't retrieve any of our conversations. It's like he disappeared, which is no big surprise considering it was his mom using the app all along.
What was his name?
Church took the phone from me and pressed a bunch of stuff on the screen as he messed with the apps and settings. His first name was Joseph, and his last name was something common. I furrowed my brows together as I tried to remember how he'd introduced himself, or rather how his mother had introduced them. The last name was Erickson. Joseph and Marie Erickson. Church handed me the phone, and I slid it into my back pocket as he looked at me out of soulful and serious eyes.
Either of them could have made a new profile, clicked on you, and tracked you here. It would make sense. All the things that have been happening seem geared towards scaring you. Probably so you'll leave and go back to Denver. The beatdown that Dalen caught was meant for me. They want me out of the way, so you are on your own and scared.
I put a wobbly hand to my throat and shifted my weight nervously. So what do we do now? I need to get rid of that app. He shook his head and laid back down on the bench, which put his head right at thigh level. All I had to do was take a step forward, and that unsmiling but oh-so-sinful mouth would be right where the seam of my jeans was already a little damp from watching him throw those weights around like he was Hercules.
Don't delete it just yet. I turned off the location locator, but left your profile up. We might need it to see where those other guys you went out with are, and it won't hurt anything to see who else pings the app while you're here. One of the new hits will probably be the fake profile of whoever it was that followed you from Denver. We can see them, but they can't see you.
He put his hands on the bar over mine and curled them around, so he was holding me in place. I bent my head so that I was looking down at him, and felt my blood start to heat at the smoldering intent, making the brown in his eyes turn darker with desire.
I'm not going to let anything bad happen to you.
It was a promise he couldn't keep, but I appreciated that he made it anyways.
Want to work up a sweat with me? I picked up a little something while I was at the gas station with Dalen earlier.
My hair fell forward around my face as I continued to stare down at where he was lying, with his face really close to the part of me that was particularly fond of those full lips and that clever tongue. Girls don't sweat, we glisten. He let go of my hands and slid his palms around my waist, so that his hands had a hold of either side of my ass.
I will gladly make you glisten all over.
I sighed. It would take a woman with far stronger willpower, and who was far less in love with him, to turn down an offer like that.
Chapter 16. Church. I watched upside down and with heavy-lidded eyes as she moved, deliberate and unhurried, popping the button open on her jeans and slowly lowering the zipper down. I would have given my left nut, or maybe my right, since that seemed to be the preferred one, for her to have a frilly little sundress on, or better yet, those leather chaps and nothing else. It was nothing but denim and some flimsy lace that kept my mouth from being where we both wanted it to be. I needed her naked and hovering over my tongue like yesterday. Especially now that I knew how close the danger was. Waiting, insidious and deceptive, while hiding out in the open. I didn't like a sneak attack when it was my stronghold that was vulnerable. It took her a few minutes to scramble out of her clothes, and another second to dart across the gym, naked as a jaybird, so that she could flip the lock on the door. I had no worry that my dad or my brother would be naive enough to walk into any room I was in with her unannounced. But if it made her feel better and got her to sit on my face faster, then I wasn't going to tell her she didn't need to bother. When she came back, I could see the way her pretty, pale skin quivered as she got closer. She wrapped her hands back around the bar that was sitting a few inches above my chest, and took the last few steps required that would have my mouth lined up with her glossy center perfectly. I let out a breath that made her whole body shudder and had me flashing a wolfish grin that was all teeth and wicked intent. I grabbed the back of one of her knees and pulled it up next to my head on the weight machine and swallowed back a groan as she leaned over the bar slightly, rusty curls falling in front of her face, and the tips tickling my stomach. The heavy weight of her breasts hung in front of my hungry eyes as I coasted a caress up the back of her thighs and pulled her closer. She was already shiny and wet. Her hidden flesh, my favorite color of pink, and so obviously aroused and ready for me. I kissed the inside of one of her thighs and heard her let out a quiet gasp. She was so responsive, so easy to set off and please. I like to think I had a special touch where her pleasure was involved. Something magical and mystical that only occurred when it was my hands on her, when it was my mouth eating her up and licking her clean. My chin bumped into her cleft, where that single center of pleasure lived. The contact made her eyes flutter closed and had her thigh muscles tightening where they were next to either side of my head. It made me chuckle in satisfaction, which vibrated low through all of her tender folds. I let my tongue swipe all along the damp slit and stopped at her velvety opening so I could flick it in and out of her sweet heat. Her hips bucked in my hold, and her breasts swayed enticingly above me. The thin track pants I'd snagged from Jules were doing little to keep my growing erection in check as I continued to work my tongue in and out of her as she made little panting sounds and rubbed herself against my face. She was always so uninhibited and ready to take hers when we were together like this. It was the only time I ever saw her get greedy, and when she didn't seem hesitant to take exactly what she wanted. I needed to get my hands on those perky nipples. I needed to get my tongue on her hungry little clit. I needed to get my cock back inside that silken channel that was fluttering around each lick and swipe in a delicate caress. She didn't feel like she was going to last very long, which made me feel like a savage, sexual superstar. There was something to be said for making your girl so quick on the trigger, as long as she knew I was far from done with her. I gave one of her ass cheeks a little tap, which made her yelp. Her eyes popped open and narrowed down at me, where she was hovering over me, as I continued to devour her. I was relentless as I licked and sucked at her, brutal as I worked her over and helped her ride my face like she would win a big shiny belt buckle and be crowned a rodeo queen after she came all over my face. These were the times I relished not having to be gentle in how I handled her. In our day-to-day, I knew I was going to crush her, that all those feelings that were catching up to me were going to bury me. But here, with her mewling and rocking back and forth like her life depended on it, there was no place for a soft touch and a hesitant heart. I tried to pull her down as she suddenly moved, dragging my tongue along more secret skin and hidden places that I didn't think she was ready to let me have access to yet. She let go of the bar with one of her hands and placed it on the rigid lines of my stomach. The already tight muscles pulled even tighter, and she maneuvered herself farther over the bar between us so that she was almost kneeling over me. Once she found her balance in the new position, she let go of the bar with her other hand and used it to push the lightweight fabric of my pants down until the towering length of my cock sprang free of the confines. I had to lift my hips a little, which was tricky since I was practically holding her up. It was a good thing I hadn't slacked off in the gym since getting out of the service, or else this fucking explosive 69 wouldn't be possible. She wrapped a hand around the base of my dick, looked back at me with a sexy little smirk that had my erection swelling even more in her hold, and then she bent her head, and I forgot how to breathe. She sucked the head into her mouth, wrapped her lips around it, and rolled her tongue over the tip like she was licking around the outside of an ice cream cone. I wasn't going to melt in her mouth, but there was a good chance I was going to explode all over that quick and clever tongue. She started to move her fist with a little twist up and down the straining shaft, and it took me a solid minute to remember I was supposed to be holding up my end of the deal. I had to lift my head to get back at all her luscious and juicy places, so I was sitting in a perpetual crunch. My abs burned and my shoulders screamed, but there was no way I was tapping out. Not when she was sucking more of my cock back as she moved her fingers lower between my legs to gently run them across sensitive globes that were aching for some kind of release. I got my mouth on her, got my tongue back inside of her, and managed to hold her up with one hand so I could use the other to tease and taunt the puckered tips of her breasts where they swayed seductively over me. She hummed around the thick flesh in her mouth as I tugged on the rosy peak, and the vibration made my eyes cross and had my balls pulling up tight as she continued to manipulate them. I threw my head back and blew out a heated breath that had her hips undulating and swiveling in my hands as she chased the phantom kiss. Dixie, I need to be inside you. As good as your mouth feels and as good as you taste, I need to feel you come on my cock. She let go of my dick with one last lick and looked at me from where she was practically lying flat across my body. Okay. Her whispery acquiescence had me fighting down urges to toss her on the floor and rut into her like an animal. She shouldn't give me free rein. I would take everything because I was a selfish, needy bastard. Once she was on her feet, back by my head, I maneuvered myself out from under the bar and leaned over to where I had tossed my jeans when I changed out of them to start my workout. I fished out one of the condoms that I'd stashed in there earlier and handed it to her as I stripped out of the rest of my workout gear. I grabbed her hand and pulled her around to the end of the bench, urged her to sit on the end of it where my cock was eye level, and insistent that she do something with it. I wrapped my own fist around the rigid length and gave it a few swift pumps, sliding it along the moisture left over from her mouth. She licked her bottom lip and looked up at me from under her lashes as she tore open the full packet and pulled the circle of latex out. I was going to hate being inside of her with the barrier between us after having a taste of her dangerous and raw this morning. But as much as I wanted to leave everything I had inside of her, I knew that wasn't fair to her. She batted my hands away and replaced them with her own. She had me covered in seconds, and before she laid back, she leaned forward and placed the softest, sweetest kiss right below my belly button. My stomach clenched and my thighs bunched up like I was preparing for an attack, and really, I kind of was. I put a hand in the center of her chest, spread my fingers wide, and urged her to lay back. I followed her backwards and pulled her hips down to the very edge of the bench so that only her spine was making contact with the surface as I supported the rest of her body in my hands. She wrapped her legs around my waist and leaned up to meet my lips as I let gravity and the moisture we'd already stirred up pull me into the waiting warmth of her body. I kissed her, lips seeking, tongue swirling as she took me into her body fully. I had to release her mouth so I could stand up and move. I held her hips to mine as I started a steady, powerful rhythm. She lifted her arms up over her head and stretched them out so her breasts bounced and swayed with every thrust. I couldn't look away, and I was happy to say she didn't seem like there was anything that was going to pull her eyes off of me either. We rolled into one another, her stuck with the pace I set, even as she used her heels in my ass to go faster, to pound harder. I liked watching the way the slow and deliberate thrusts made her eyes darken to almost black, and I liked that the slower I went and the longer I took to drag myself out of her, the more she flushed and the more her pale skin did indeed glisten. She strained towards me, hips grinding, legs squeezing, but she was my captive, and this was my magic trick. I moved her legs so that her knees were resting over the bend of my elbows, giving me the perfect view of the spot where we were joined. It made me groan every time her body fluttered and trembled around mine as she took me in. She was so welcoming, so willing to take me as I was. Need a hand here, pretty girl. Mine occupied. She made a noise of satisfaction, low in her throat, and slowly started to trail her hands over her skin. She stopped to play with her breasts, which she knew would make me lose the steady rhythm I was using to torture us both. My hips kicked into her and she gasped. She smiled up at me and continued to let her fingers dance over that freckled skin. She circled her cute little belly button and then, after what felt like hours, finally touched that place where I had her spread open and shimmering with sex and saliva. Her touch was butterfly light as I watched her fondle herself. She circled and circled with the pad of her finger until her breathing got choppy and her gaze got hazy. When I felt her start to tighten around me, when I saw her legs quiver and felt her stroking rhythm get erratic and wild, I finally let loose. I plowed into her, dick hammering and balls swinging against her ass. She moaned my name and scrambled to find something to hold on to as I pounded into her so hard it started to move her further up the bench. Her slick skin squeaked on the vinyl, but neither one of us stopped to readjust. I took her harder and more viciously than I had ever taken another woman, and I knew I was driven by the fact that I didn't want her to be able to forget me when it was time for us to go our separate ways. I wanted to fuck her better than any man that may come after me could. I felt my orgasm start to coil and wind into a spring that was beyond ready to snap at the base of my spine. Dixie. It was a warning, but it was also a plea. I never wanted her to get shortchanged when we were together like this. Not after all the big promises I'd made to her about giving her the time of her life in the sack. But her demanding and serious way of fucking me back was unraveling me and blowing all my restraint to hell. I wanted to give her what she deserved, but she was just as determined to give me all the things I didn't deserve. She gave a wobbly smile, and I saw her toes point and stiffen as her body broke under mine. The rush of pleasure from her orgasm pushed me ruthlessly into my own. I'd had more than my fair share of sexual experiences since I lost my virginity when I was 15. But none of them compared to this one. None of them would be remembered, because this one was the only one that felt like it mattered. Sex with Dixie had proven to be different, deeper than any other sex I'd ever had, but I hadn't realized until this minute that that was because she made it as much about me as I tried to make it about her. I wanted her to come first, figuratively and literally, but she wanted us to come together. She wanted to make sure that it was as good for me as I tried to make it for her. I let her legs drop and watched as gravity pulled her body away from mine. Sex looked good on her. Sex with me looked perfect on her. I let my gaze drift over every satiated, satisfied inch of her and couldn't stop one of those grins she'd forced me to find from pulling at my lips. You glisten good, pretty girl. And I wasn't so sure anymore that I was going to be able to hand her off to somebody else that might take better care of her if that meant I didn't get to see her shine anymore. The rest of my workout was put on hold since all my muscles felt like they were made of taffy and my bones had the rigidity of water after Dixie was done with me. She was yawning and barely able to keep her eyes open, so I walked her back to my childhood bedroom, but there was no way I was going to sleep. Not with my brain swirling around the information she had given me about the dating app, and not with the realization that letting her go and handing her off to someone else might not be as easy as I'd once had myself convinced it would be. I was used to guarding my heart, but somehow she had slipped under those ironclad defenses and embedded some of her optimism and unshakable belief in the territory inside of me I thought was toxic and contaminated. Everything needed sunlight and care to flourish and grow. Dixie had both in spades and was relentless in her quest to turn my insides from something barren and lifeless into something that flourished and thrived with light and color. After her breathing turned steady and even, I maneuvered my way out from under her freckled limbs, pulled on the black track pants I'd snagged from Jules, and quietly made my way through the house towards where the master bedroom was located. The silent journey was one down memory lane, as well as down the hallway. It felt like yesterday that I'd been creeping down these same floors, searching for comfort during angry storms or when I'd had a bad dream. Even after Mom had passed, Jules was always there, always with an open door, ready to offer comfort and soft words that made everything in the world seem better. I'd always thought he could keep all the monsters at bay until we lost another amazing woman. It was then I realized there were some things even the bravest men couldn't battle. So instead of staying to fight, I chose to flee. I didn't make it to the bedroom because the sliding back door was open and the rich scent of a lit cigar wafted in from the outside. There was a big deck on the back of the house where the barbecue to end all barbecues lived. And ever since I was little, Jules had liked to sit out there with his feet propped up on the rail, smoking a stogie after a particularly long day at work. The smell was one of comfort and fond memories. It was one that made me feel like no matter how much had changed, more things, the important things, had stayed the same. The smell held regret and remorse for all the nights I'd missed it. Missed the simple, quiet times with the man who raised me. I pushed the door open wide enough to accommodate my shoulders and made my way over to the chair that was next to the one Jules was lounging in. The only light was coming from the half moon overhead and the cherry glowing at the end of the cigar clamped between Jules' teeth. I propped my feet up and crossed them at the ankles, copying his pose without even thinking about it. I'd been emulating the man my entire life, tried to live up to all the big examples he set, but when it came down to it, I'd failed at being the man he raised me to be. I need you to dig up whatever you can on some people named Erickson, Joseph, and Marie. I have a friend, I use the term loosely, in Denver who is dating a cop, and I'm going to see if she'll look into them as well. Dixie met the son online and went on a date that went sideways. It sounds like they might be our culprits. A puff of smoke billowed out in front of him, and his chin dipped down in a nod as he pulled the cigar out of his mouth. I can do that. I have a car parked outside Sassy's, looking for our yokels as well. No sign of them yet. They're probably lying low, or they may have figured out they got the wrong guy and are keeping their heads down so the person that hired them doesn't come looking for a refund. He stuck the cigar back in between his lips, and when he talked, the red end bounced up and down. Keep that pretty little thing close, son. She's a keeper, and you don't want anything happening to her. I laced my fingers behind my head and rocked back on the chair so that it was balanced precariously on the back legs. I'm more the catch and release type. I wasn't actually a fisherman at all, because the catch of the day tended to land in the boat without me reeling them in. And I promised her I wouldn't let anything happen to her while she's with me. It's a promise I intend to keep. The cigar twitched as he turned his head to look at me, and then he sighed long and loud, which sent fragrant smoke drifting up around his head. That's not a promise you can make good on, son. Sometimes the things that happen to those that we love are out of our control. The only thing you can make sure of is that you are not the person or the reason she gets hurt, that you can control completely. If you hurt her, that pain falls squarely on you, Dash, and you don't get the luxury of blaming God or piss-poor luck. His words dug themselves deep inside my skin. It was a fatherly warning, but it was more than that. It was hard truth that I couldn't bury my head in the sand and ignore. I was always waiting for the bad to work its way into my good thing. I rarely stopped to wonder if I was the bad working myself into someone else's good thing because of my long-held hang-ups and refusal to let anyone close. I owe you an apology. I know the words don't make up for my actions, but I am sorry. I kicked the chair back even farther so that I was looking up at the night sky. I'm sorry I didn't tell you what I was really risking when I was overseas. I'm sorry I never made it back home. I'm sorry I left the way I did. And I'm more than sorry I wasn't here when you needed me the most. You have always been the best example of a father any kid could ask for. And I'm sorry you got stuck with me instead of a kid that deserved you. There was absolute silence from the man next to me. So I turned my head, just as he was shifting in his seat so that he was looking directly at me. He pulled the cigar out of his mouth and gingerly placed it in the glass ashtray that was resting near the leg of his chair. Did I ever tell you I loved your mom long before she ever agreed to go out on a date with me? At the abrupt change of subject, I gave him a quizzical look and shook my head. Well, I did. I thought she was the most beautiful girl I'd ever seen when we were in high school together. I used to watch her in the hallways, and I had a picture that the paper ran of her from her pageant days stuck on my mirror in my room. I would have given anything for her to look at me, for her to see me the way I saw her, but she never did. I snorted, probably because her parents would have lost their shit if she tried to bring home a black boyfriend while she was still living under their roof. It probably never occurred to her that you were a viable dating choice back then. He nodded and lifted a shoulder and let it fall. Maybe. But I didn't know that. I didn't know she was raised by racists and had been taught that different skin color was something unacceptable. What I did know was that she came from money, and I did not. I came from the